Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to In the Spotlight. I am your host, Tamika Patrice Kane. Three times a month, we bring you the authors with the most flaming pens in the literary arena, the publishers dedicated to producing the hottest books, and industry professionals who are sure to take your books to the next level. Today's special guests are authors Cheryl Lister and Kathy Jo. Cheryl, welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you, Tamika.
My pleasure. So I've been seeing you around on the Facebook groups and love your online energy and presence and wanted to have you as a guest on the show. So I'm so glad that you're with us today.
Thank you.
And we'll
for
go ahead and jump right in.
I appreciate you.
Oh, yes. My pleasure. So why don't you tell us about your newest work, Tender Kisses?
Tender Kisses is about the tough-as-nails PR director who has been batting a zero in the love game and a carefree bachelor who's a workaholic who has no intention of settling down.
Okay.
And so it's the first book in a five-book series, around the heroine of this book is Siobhan Gray, and it's five books. All of her siblings will get their own story. So she's the oldest, and she gets her story told first.
Very nice. Okay. That was actually the next thing I was going to ask you, how many books there were going to be in the series. Now, when was this book released?
It was released actually last week, April 1st.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so it's brand
new. Baby,
new.
Huh?
Just kicking off a new series here.
That's awesome. Okay. Well, congratulations on that. Love the
Thank
title.
You.
Yes, I'm one of those people who love, so you got me right there at the title. Pulled me right on in. So when you sit down to write a story, you know, what is it that you hope that the reader takes away from your story?
I guess with all the craziness of life that's going on, I want them to be able to escape for just a few minutes and just travel with me and locally or sometimes a getaway just to get away and to still to know that real love is still available and it's still out there and it's just fun.
Yes. So beautiful. I love that. Is there a general theme present in your work?
Just romance. Just romance.
Okay. All
just
right.
romance. In this particular one, it is pretty much just romance.
Okay. Now, how many books have you written?
Wow. This one was my sixth published book.
Oh,
so this
really?
Is book six. Yes.
Very nice. Very nice. Okay. So why don't you tell us the titles of all of your works and a little bit about each one then?
Okay. My debut was Just to Be With You, and that featured a special education teacher and an R&B superstar. I'm a music fan, so pretty much I try to get away from the music. It's not working out, so there's still music in every book. The book following that was All of Me, and that features a teacher who was going for the job as a principal and a businessman who did safety consulting in schools.
Okay.
The third book in that series, well, these are, I'm going to give you the Harlequin titles first.
Okay,
these are the
all
Harlequins.
Right.
And then is It's Only You, and that featured the manager of the of my hero in my first debut book, Donovan Wright, and he was paired with an emergency room nurse.
Okay.
And then I did two novellas, a spinoff of my characters. The first one was Made to Love You, and that came out in the summer of last year. And it featured one of the older brothers of my heroine in Just to Be With You, Devin, and one of his ex-girlfriends. A second chance romance took place in Jamaica. So that was a fun one to write, kind of going back on my memories of Jamaica. And in December, had a Christmas novella with this side character from All of Me, the best friend, one of the best friends of the hero, Kyle, and the counselor of the school where they did the safety training, Melissa.
Okay. And then your baby, your new baby here. Okay.
And then my new baby kicking off a new series. Yeah.
That's awesome. Okay, so that means, so you have what, four under Kimani imprints and then two that are?
Four so far under Kimani imprint, yes. And then two
novellas. Okay, and then two that are self-published?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Very good. So we'll talk about that. And so they would kind of consider you a hybrid author. We'll kind of talk about that. You bring up a really kind of interesting point there. So that takes us into the publishing thing, which is my next question on my list here. So you're published with Kimani Imprints for four of your titles. And that is quite an accomplishment. So why don't you tell us about your journey to becoming assigned or becoming signed to a major label like that?
You know, it was really, I always call this, okay, people laugh at me, but I call it a Jesus special. That's what I call
okay.
it because I love writing, and you know how I, like most people, live their lives and never think that they could get that, you know, to do what they love to do. So you just do life. And I was, you know, sidelined, you know, and I think maybe, you know, when they first started publishing, you know, the African-American romance, and I found them and I was thinking, oh my gosh, they have books for about, you know, my life. Let me, I can do this. I can do this. And of course, for 2 decades, I told my mom all stories and she says, would you stop talking about it and write the doggone book? And, you know, when she passed away in 2009, I said, okay, you know, life is short. I need to do this if I want to do it. And, you know, you start it, and then you go back to life, and I was sidelined with back surgery, and that's what got me to start writing because I had to lay here for an entire month. And I actually finished one book, and then when you hit the end, it seems like it unlocked something. And it says, oh, maybe I can do this. And so fast-forwarding 4 books, three surgeries and 4 books later, I participated in the Harlequin boards. They have a community board on their website where a lot of aspiring writers gather and we share snippets of writing and get feedback from one another. And they were having a pitch. Kimani was having a pitch, and you pitch 100 words to an editor, and they and they requested the full manuscript, and at which I had already finished. And a month later, I got a call for a 3-book offer.
Oh, my goodness.
So
that
was amazing.
That is amazing. Oh, my goodness. Okay. So let me just throw in a little plug here because, you know, we get all kinds of, you know, people who listen to the show. But for those of you who are still sitting on your dream and you're wondering, you know, well, how do I get an agent or how do I do this? She didn't even have to get an agent. You know, I mean, it just happened to work out. So sometimes you just have to put your feelers out there and, you know, do it scared, but just do it. So that is such.
But do it.
That's
and it was
so inspiring.
Scared.
I love
it
that.
It was doing it scared. And I think, let me just back up a little bit, because before that, what I did was join RWA. I joined Romance Writers of America. And they have chapters all across the country, and a lot of them offer contests. So if you're an aspiring writer and you really want to get feedback on your writing, this is a good place to do it because the contests go anywhere from $10 all the way up to probably about $35 or $40. So they get a little expensive. So you have to pick and choose those that you know will give you some good feedback. And that's what I did. And I really believe that strengthened my writing a lot. My feelings were hurt the first couple times, seriously, seriously hurt.
Okay.
And make you want to throw in the towel, but but once you know, dust off your feelings and let it sit for a minute, you go and you take the advice and you start researching and you start working on your craft.
That is
And I truly believe that helped me so much, so much.
That is beautiful. So let's go from you entering this panel or whatever this was, you know, where they say, okay, now send me the manuscript. And then you're under contract, and then your first book is nominated for an award through a noteworthy organization like Romance Slam Jam. So why don't you tell us, like, what that felt like for you?
I don't even know if I can put that into words. It was this heart beating, running around the house, screenshotting and sending it to all my family. Oh, my God, did you see this? Did you see this? Did you see this? Yeah, I did.
That is awesome.
It was crazy. And I want to just back up a little bit because I know you said you don't, and for Harlequin, you don't need an agent. But I was fortunate enough to find my agent, the agent of my dreams, a month later after I was offered that contract. So that was an amazing thing, too. And I absolutely adore my agent.
Now, how did
name
that,
Sarah
how did
Younger,
finding
she,
an agent in? Oh, I'm sorry. I cut you off.
Sarah Younger of Nancy Yost Literary Agency is my agent, and she is phenomenal.
Oh, that is awesome. So how has having an agent, you know, changed the process for you? Or has it changed the process for you?
I think it changes the process in the sense that you know that you have somebody who will go to bat for you.
Gotcha.
Will, you know, like, so if there are some things that you're kind of not comfortable with, that she can intervenes, and she's like the person, the mediator here. And
okay.
So if I'm uncomfortable, if I'm, you know, worried about something, that she's the person who takes me off the ledge.
Okay, I see. I gotcha.
So,
okay.
So it's really great, and she does go to bat, you know, to keep some things, you know, if I want to keep some things in the writing or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So it's been
mm-hmm.
awesome. Awesome.
Okay.
Awesome.
So let's talk about the difference then between a traditionally published author and then the indie author, what they would call the hybrid, when you're doing, you know, both types. So how is there a big difference in your process, or, you know, in how you feel about it, you know, now that you can see both sides of the fence? You know,
mm-hmm.
where are you with that?
I think
do you prefer
the biggest...
one or the other?
No, I don't prefer one or the other, but I think the indie side of it really gives me a chance to explore a little more with my voice. I can
okay.
do situations that are not necessarily allowed in the traditional publishing.
Ah,
so if I
gotcha.
Wanted to do, because they have guidelines, so
mm-hmm.
the books follow a specific type of formula. So your voice, you can, you know, manipulate your voice anyway in there, but there
mm-hmm.
are certain guidelines that you have to follow. Whereas with India, I can, you know, have lots of things that I can't put in the other ones, and
gotcha.
I think
okay.
it's harder in some ways. Because,
mm-hmm.
you know, you're responsible for all the other stuff. So, and I've
yeah.
been fortunate. Like I said, my agency does the e-books. So they do them.
Mm-hmm.
So I have great help with them with, you know, getting the editor and the covers.
Okay.
Which that is a whole new ball game, because you have more of the creative control there. So you're like,
mm-hmm.
okay, I don't know this. And you got to find a picture. You got to find photos. You have to find.
Mm-hmm.
And that is, whoa. Well, especially
okay.
with,
okay.
you know, the limited amount of African-American models that you can find in stock photos. So it's like it's you end up with the pictures that are on about 12 other books, and you
mm-hmm.
hope that you can manipulate the background or something to give it a little bit a fresher look. But it's a little bit more difficult, whereas with Harlequin, you know, they can have their own models. We just fill out an art fact sheet. The art team takes care of it, you know,
mm-hmm.
and that's it.
Okay.
Right. Right.
So it's very interesting that you talk about that. I don't know if you saw a post. I usually don't talk about
yes,
myself
I did.
On these
your
interviews.
Post about the cover.
Oh, my goodness. I'm like, it's
like,
9 days before the book comes live. But I was very thankful. But, you know, I ended up having some people that I knew. I'm like, okay, yeah, if you're going to jam me up like this, I better not trust you. On round two of
right.
this, I ended up having some folks I knew do a photo shoot for me and sign waivers because –
That
yes, you're absolutely right.
Yeah, because that is hard. And then you don't know. You're like, well, you just see this out there, and they think, and you say you trust them to find you the photos that are legitimately
yes.
used. So far,
oh,
I haven't had that problem. So
I'm so glad you bypassed that.
Yes, they're very cool because they use a particular stock photo, and so they send me the pictures, you know, so I can look
okay.
at them beforehand.
Gotcha.
So that's different. Or I find them on there and send them, like, what about this? What about this kind of thing?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, no,
so
no, no.
Yeah. I'm glad you brought up the covers because I find your covers to be so attractive. They really pull me in. So as an
Thank
avid
you.
Reader, how much does cover art – for a book play a role in you deciding to give that book a chance?
Let's see. Probably about 90%.
Really?
About
okay.
90%. Because there are some
mm-hmm.
authors who, you know, I love their books. And so a lot
mm-hmm.
of times I don't even look at the cover. It's like, oh, this is a new book by my favorite. Oh, let's grab it and go.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha.
But for the most part, I do like to see a good cover. Now,
okay.
if I, you know, because there are some covers to me that are like, okay, I would never pick that up because of that
mm-hmm.
cover.
mm-hmm.
And I'm not going to
feel the same way.
Just, you know, there are certain covers and titles that say, I won't be reading this book.
Yes, gotcha.
But for the most part, you know, I think it does play a little bit of a part because you want something that's nice, you want it to look good and to maybe to speak to you at a level where you're like, wow, I wonder what this is about, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then you flip it over and read the back, and that's, you know, the blurb is what really captures me. But it's the cover, I think, that gets your initial view. because if you're scrolling with the sheer numbers of books that are available, something has to catch your eye, and the cover, I think having a good one will do that.
That is so true.
At least
make them
stop the scroll.
Yes, I totally agree with you. I'm very visual, and so I'm there. But I did have someone tell me that, oh, they hardly ever pay attention to covers. I said, really? That was very shocking to me.
My daughter said that to me because I had one cover that I wasn't necessarily thrilled with, and then she was, well, I don't really pay attention to the cover. But then when I showed her the redesigned cover, she was like, oh my gosh, I love this cover. I know I said I didn't pay attention to the covers, but this one right here would make me read this book.
Okay.
Yeah. So I guess,
go ahead. Finish your up.
Go ahead. I'm done. Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. So what genres do you currently write? Are you just African-American contemporary romance, or what exactly is your genre?
Well, so far, I'm only published in contemporary romance, so African-American contemporary romance. And I guess my last indie project had a little bit of suspense in it. So romantic suspense is another genre that, I mean, I have some works in progress in romantic suspense, and I actually have an inspirational romance, too. So both of those genres are I'd like to spread into. And then one of these days, just, the top of the wish list is to write, a mystery thriller.
Oh, really? Okay.
Because, that was one of my favorite genres growing up. I love the mystery thriller, so I would love to do that, too.
Very nice. Okay. That is awesome. I was going to ask you what types of books you like to read, so let's take us right on into that. and who are some of your favorite authors?
Okay, so, romance, obviously. My bookshelves attest to how much I love romance. My husband's like, don't buy another book. So, I know it's bad. But I think my favorite author is the one who really inspired me to actually take up this mantle of writing, Brenda Jackson, Beverly Jenkins, Frances Ray, Rochelle Allaire's, Adrienne Bird, Maureen Smith. I mean, I read everybody. It's been, those are pretty much my top faves of who really just got me into Gwyneth Bolton. If I start naming, I'll forget somebody, so let me just stop right there. There's lots of them.
Okay,
lots of them.
And then
I love Farrah Rashawn. I love Phyllis Bourne. And Deborah Mello. Let me stop. See, you have me naming. I'll just name everybody on the show.
I got you started, huh?
Yes, exactly.
That's okay. No, we
so
love
I do,
plus,
and,
so that's great.
And it's been really cool because it's dominated by females. The writing world almost is, and so I've picked up, and I love a couple of guys: Keith Thomas Walker, Wayne Jordan, Keith Kareem Williams. So I'm learning. I'm finding these new guys, and some of those guys they write in romance, but they write other stuff too. So it's pulling me into the other, back into my thrillers and mysteries and, kind of things like that. Yeah.
Okay.
So, but I haven't had a chance to read anything really.
Not lately.
At all.
No.
My TBR file is like sky high.
So is there a book, whether it's a novel or whatever, that you can remember reading at any point in your life that really just impacted you and stayed with you and made just a huge difference? And if so, what is that book? Or what are those?
Oh, wow. Man, that's a tough question.
Okay.
Because I devour books. One book that has stayed with me probably would be Maya Angelou's I Know Why the Caged Bird Sings.
Yes, for me too.
I absolutely love, and I remember I was reading the book on the bus. I used to have to take the bus to school early in college, and I remember reading that book and having to put it away. It's a two-hour bus ride, but I couldn't read because the first parts of it were so funny that I was laughing, cracking up on the bus, like, okay, people are going to think I'm crazy. Stop reading. But that book has all of this time, and I remember going to the library to get, because there's four parts to it. There are four different books in that series, and I wouldn't start reading them until I got them, so I kept rechecking the books until I had all four. and then read them all in about 2 days. So
I love
so
that.
That. Yeah, so I think that one was one that really stayed with me.
Okay. And what did it do for you?
It just, I've been a voracious reader all my life, mm-hmm. and it was just the impact of her words and how she
mm-hmm.
told the story.
Mm-hmm.
And my sister teases me because she says, yeah, you read all those books. You're either out there reading the books on the front porch or writing your own story. So, and it just kept the spark of writing for me, from writing for me. And then as I got older, you know, you start reading and then, you know, borrowing my mother's,
mm-hmm.
you know, Harlequins that were under the table that you weren't supposed to read.
Yeah. Right.
Those. And so that was like a cool thing. It's like, you know, you kind of borrow those books and then to be writing for them later on is just wow, full circle. It's really surreal that you can write for somebody with the stories they used to sneak and love.
Yes.
But then another book that has stayed with me is actually Beverly Jenkins' Indigo. And that is probably, as a romance, I'm like, wow, just
mm-hmm.
the time period that during the horrendous time of slavery that there was still love on
mm-hmm.
with folks who were free. So that just stayed with me, too. I was never a historical romance person until somebody, cause I happened to see a book of hers in the store. And
uh-huh.
I was like, oh, really historical? Because I had read her Romantic Suspense. I was like, okay,
mm-hmm.
I'll pick it up. And then
mm-hmm.
within probably 2 weeks, I had all the books and all read. Yes.
Yeah, she's phenomenal. Absolutely one of my favorites, yes.
Yeah,
and she does have that effect on you.
She
her
does.
Writing does.
Okay.
Absolutely.
And her writing, and her as a person, too. She is just, she's a phenomenal
gracious.
Lady. She's very gracious. Love
mm-hmm.
her, love her, love her.
Yes. Yes, totally agree with you. We are so on the same page.
Yeah.
So is there anyone in your family who, you know, got your gift of writing? Or are you the only one?
I'm it.
Oh,
I'm
really?
The only one. Yes.
Huh.
And it's really funny.
Okay.
But my two older daughters love to read. My oldest one reads like I do. She devours a book in 2 seconds. My middle mm-hmm. one will read books, but she doesn't read any of mine.
Okay.
She doesn't read mine at all. Well, she's 21, but she doesn't read. She likes more of, you know, like the Twilight, the adventure, those kinds of things.
Gotcha.
And my younger one is not necessarily, she reads, but it has to be very interesting to her.
Okay, gotcha.
So I guess for me, the biggest thing but my father-in-law reads too. He's the one, he read all of my drafts before they were published.
Aww. Really?
That
is so cute.
Yeah,
he's
a romance
that.
Reader. He reads romance.
Oh,
so he does.
Yeah. I love that.
He does, and so he read all of my drafts. And I think the biggest surprise and probably the biggest compliment I've ever gotten is my husband. He read my debut because he's not a reader.
Yeah. Okay.
And he read
okay.
the whole book. And I was like,
oh
my gosh, you read the whole book?
Yes.
So to me, that was just bestseller status right there if he read
absolutely.
The whole book.
Yes. I'm totally feeling the magnitude of that moment. Yes, absolutely.
Yes. It was
that
amazing.
Beautiful.
So, but no one else writes. No one else does. They're like, yeah, Mom, that's you. I'm like, okay.
So
but my oldest daughter, she helps me edit, though. She's my oldest one. She's more, she will edit, but she won't write.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Yes. So she's very good at that, too. She finds things that, you know, I miss, and so I love
mm-hmm.
sending it to her to let her, just like, can you read this for me?
Oh, I love that. I wonder if later on if she will tap into her writing gift, if she will feel like there's a story in her that she has to tell. It'd be interesting.
She
to
says
see
no.
Maybe
she said that
okay.
she will. I keep trying to tell her, I said, you know, you should look into doing, you know, see if there's an agency to do editing because I think you would be great
mm-hmm.
at it. She's really,
mm-hmm.
and even though I'm mom, she still called me out. So she calls it payback, though, because she likes to red ink me because I used to do that with their writing when they were growing up.
Okay.
She's like, you don't know how
I
happy
love
this
it.
Makes me.
I love that. So why don't you tell us a little bit about who you are when you are not writing these amazing stories? Tell us about your life.
When I am not writing, I am shuttling my youngest daughter to every band event there is.
Okay.
She's a drummer. So, that's what I do. I've been mommy for a long time. So my oldest daughter, it was with the choir and
mm-hmm.
So she did the singing thing. My middle daughter was art, and now the youngest one is banned, and she plays percussion. So
yeah,
and then or either that or that I'm on a date. That's what I live for, are my dates with my hero.
Yeah,
and those are I think my favorite times. So I like to do that. My hobbies, I like cooking, I like baking,
mm-hmm.
you know, and trying to play around with little bite-sized desserts and appetizers.
Really?
So those are
uh-huh.
my favorite kinds of things. Yeah. Especially playing
okay.
around with chocolate. I don't like chocolate, but I love to make the chocolate stuff and let them
oh, really?
Be guinea pigs. Mm-hmm.
Oh, very interesting. Okay.
And in my past life, I was a pediatric occupational therapist. So.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Yeah, so for over 20 years, work with the babies, work with children.
Oh, that is
mm-hmm.
so sweet. Yes, and that's a special calling. Not everyone can do it, you know.
I loved it. I loved my babies, you know.
Yes.
I can't do adults,
that is
but
beautiful.
I can do the kids.
Totally understand, yes. That is so beautiful. I love that. And do you think that you might want to do a cookbook someday? Or it's just kind of a hobby?
It's just kind of a hobby. I mean, I have so many
mm-hmm.
hobbies. I love the crafting is kind of more what it is, because I've done probably so many different crafting, scrapbooking to
really?
Making Bath and Body. I used to make Bath and Body, so, you know, from lotion to like
uh-huh.
cold press soap to shower gels to
really?
Bath bombs to all that. Yeah, I used to do bath the whole nine. And it's like, okay,
oh,
we need to
nice.
Stop that because we don't have time for this anymore. So I've done that. And then the cooking. I did at one point toy with wanting to do catering, just
mm-hmm.
small catering with just appetizers and bite-sized desserts.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I thought about that. Because I think what cured me is that, because I love making chocolate dipped strawberries, I make truffles,
mm-hmm.
and one year I decided around Valentine's Day to pass out little flyers to my neighbors and, you know, a couple people I knew,
uh-huh.
and ended up in one weekend chocolate dipping 250 strawberries and 150
really?
Truffles.
Oh, my,
and
okay.
Like, okay,
wow.
You have lost your mind, don't do that again. Right, because it was by myself, so it was.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. It was cool, but,
that's
you know,
awesome.
they everybody loved them, but it was a little bit hard. So if I can figure out how to get the strawberries and do them year-round, I would.
Yes. Oh, I love that idea. And, you know, I'm an ideas person, so you're talking, and I've got ideas just popping off in my head. There's all kinds of things you can do with that, right?
Yes.
But I love the idea of, you know, I'm thinking with you doing, you know, the books and everything, book clubs. And, you know, maybe kind of marketing to book clubs with your, I mean, it's a smaller group, so it wouldn't be, you know, 200, you know, 500 pieces at a time.
Exactly.
You know, but they would still kind of, it would still be a market for you, you know, to be able to touch base with these book club groups and things like that for your catering and stuff. You can tie them both in together. Just to, you know.
See, you're going to get me in trouble over here thinking now.
Uh-oh.
See? My husband's probably listening going, no, you don't need to do anything else. Well, right now I can't, it's not feasible at this moment, hopefully, because
uh-huh.
my back is still a mess. So
it
would be too taxing for me to try to do all that now. Although I would try it, but
gotcha.
I'd get shut down real quick. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
My husband would be like, no, just no.
Yeah, we're not having that. Got it.
Yes, exactly.
Do you have any events or book signings coming up where the readers can come out and meet you?
I will be at Romance Slam Jam next month in Detroit from the 28th through the 30th.
Mm-hmm.
And then in the end of September, I'll be in Chicago with a cavalcade of authors, which is September 30th through October 2nd. And then the following weekend, right behind that, October 6th through the 8th, I'll be in Memphis, Tennessee with BRAB, the Building Relationships Around Books book club, their reader retreat
mm-hmm.
in Memphis.
Mm-hmm.
So far, that's it.
Okay.
That's probably enough.
Yeah, well, no, that's wonderful. And those are all very noteworthy events and stuff. Actually, the Slam Jam is in my backyard because I'm in Michigan.
Really?
Yes.
I'm
not sure. My mentor is trying to talk me into it, but I'm doing the Dayton Book Fair on the 30th. So I'm not quite sure if I'll be able to work that out. I'll have to see how I can maybe do one night, maybe, you know,
Sneak in and we can just like meet in the lobby just to say hello or something.
It would be so nice to meet you. Yes.
Yes.
Now, I'll have to talk to you off the air about that. Okay, so yes.
Okay.
I've got that one down. My mentor will be in town too. She's from New York. But and it would be so nice to see you ladies. Oh, Okay, yes, I'll have to make that happen. Okay, so let's see what else is going on here. Why don't you tell our listeners what we can expect from you next? So I know your baby's new, but...
Yes, she is new, but coming up next, I have a project coming in the summer. Not ready to share just quite yet,
okay.
I have one coming in the summer, and then book two in the Gray series will feature the baby sister, Morgan, and coming in October, and I think that was probably... like one of my probably might be one of my favorite stories just because I love football and my hero's a football player, so had a great time with that one. And then in November I am part of the Harlequins Christmas anthology with Nana Malone, and so will be two stories in there, and I have a story a novella in there called Be Mine for Christmas.
Awesome. Okay, now why don't you tell our listeners how they can follow you on social media and where your books may be purchased?
So on social media, you can just come. You can go to my website, which is www.cheryllister.com. Cheryl with an S, SHERYLLISTER.com. And on Facebook, you can find me at Author Cheryl Lister. On Twitter, at 1SLynn, LYNNE.
Okay. All right. And where can your books be purchased?
And my books, you can find them major retailers. Well, all except for the indie projects will be just on Amazon and Barnes & Noble, but they're ebook only. So Barnes & Noble, Kobo, iTunes, and Amazon, everywhere.
Mm-hmm. Okay, all right. Now, finally, what advice would you give to an author who's been putting in the work to get their books noticed, and yet they have not reached the type of success they had in mind? Now they're frustrated and they're discouraged. What do you say to that person?
Keep plugging, because success does not come overnight.
No, it doesn't.
Okay. It does not. I mean, you have to, if you're going to be an author, you have to do it because you love writing. You can't do it because you're looking for the million-dollar contract. Okay, that would be lovely.
Mm-hmm.
Would love to see one of those
mm-hmm.
in my lifetime myself. But you do it because you love writing. Because if you don't love the writing, You'll quit. You will.
That is such great advice.
So you're doing it
such
because the writing
advice.
Is so deep inside your soul that you have to write.
Yes. Yes. And, you know, this is kind of a side note. You know, for the indies, of course, you know, there's all these extra costs and all the stuff that goes along with it. But you know what? If you have to put aside money in your budget like a bill, you know, to fund your dream, that's right. Just do it.
You do it.
Just
and,
do
and
it.
Don't,
mm-hmm.
And don't, you know, you don't try to rush it. Because it'll be
mm-hmm.
available whenever you do it. You want to put your best product out, and you do need to put aside money. Don't send your baby out into the world riddled
mm-hmm.
with, you know, errors and format problems and everything.
Yes.
Invest in an editor. Invest in one.
Yes. That is such great advice. I'm so glad that you joined us today. And
thank you,
Cheryl,
so much for having me,
so
Tamika.
Candidly. Yes. You know, and I love that you are writing quality fiction that celebrates love. So, you know, keep us abreast of your future works, and I would love to have you back on the show again.
I would love to chat with you again.
Okay, well, thank you so
and
much.
And I hope to see you next month.
I know it. I'm going to have to make that happen because, you know, now we've talked about it. But
okay.
Now I'm going to have to just
see?
Do it.
Good.
So
I'll be stalking you going, so what you doing? What are you doing? What day are you coming?
Right. That's right. Okay, so thank you very much. Enjoy your day. Now, you're more than welcome to hang out with us the rest of the show if you'd like, you know. And
okay.
I will bring the next guest on. We'll hear word from our sponsor.
Thank you.
Scores
Thank
of
you.
Authors from across the nation will autograph books on Saturday, April 30th at the 7th Annual Dayton Book Expo. In addition to book signings, the Ohio-based event includes sessions for aspiring authors, a kids zone, and a free journal for book lovers. For details, call 888-802-1802 or visit DaytonBookExpo.com. Dayton Book Expo, where book lovers connect.
If you are just tuning in, you're listening to In the Spotlight, and I'm your host, Tamika Patrice Kane. We've just been talking with author Cheryl Lister and discussing her newest work, Tender Kisses. Our next guest is author Kathy Joe. Kathy Joe, welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you for having me, Tamika.
Yes, my pleasure. So glad you're able to join us today. So let's talk about your debut, Transition, Short Stories for a Rainy Day. Let's talk about that. Tell us about your story and why you decided to write it.
Well, Transitions is a book of short stories. It's an eclectic collection. It has no particular theme throughout, but if I had to give it a theme, I would say it's about triumphing over life's little unexpectancies. And it has stories ranging from love story to stories about learning humility when it comes to judging people, you know, because the one character in there is a so-called born-again Christian, and she has a very judgmental attitude. So she learns a lesson about being humble when dealing with others. And it's a book of eight stories, and the stories, like I said, they're eclectic. And to talk about each story, you know, would take almost the whole time. So basically, there is a story, depending on what you like, there is a story for everyone. I have not heard a reader tell me that there was not at least one story that they could relate to. So depending on what you like, there's something that you're going to feel that you connect with.
Now, I really enjoyed the book, and one of the things that impressed me besides the quality of the writing were the unique spins on each of the stories. So, you know, so often we see life in black and white. It's either good or it's bad, it's right or it's wrong, and we don't give account for the shades of gray, and yet in your story you exposed us to those shades of gray. So tell us what you hoped to accomplish by writing those stories.
Well, I wanted the reader to, like you said, there, you know, everything is not black and white. But I wanted the reader to be able to read the story and then walk away with another viewpoint or another way of thinking about a particular subject. Like, for instance, the story In Memoriam, it's about an author. It's about a woman who was raised in a family of and they had, like all families, they have their family secrets. Well, she's the one that everyone went to and kind of emptied out, you know, their soul to her. And so she was the one who was responsible for keeping those secrets. And as a result of that, she became interested in trying to help other people who may have come from families like hers or been dealing with some of the things that her family members were dealing with, to try to help them not to allow those situations to define who they would become. So she became a psychologist. And so in her becoming a psychologist, she learned to deal with the secrets that she's been told, how to compartmentalize them and not let them define who she was. And so we learned a little bit about her background through her, you know, reminiscing or waiting in the interim, her waiting for another patient. She thinks about what brought her to where she was. And so we, you know, we learned that she rose above her childhood.
Yeah. So how long did it take for you to write Transitions?
Oh, well, some of the stories that are in there were started and finished back in the late 1990s.
Oh, really?
So,
okay.
Yeah, so from there until I published the book, I had been writing stories and adding them to that little collection. So it took me about, it took me about 10 or 11 years to compile the whole thing.
Okay. All right. Now, you spent years working in a library. How much did that experience influence your writing?
Oh, almost 90% of it influenced my writing. Because as a child, I was always interested in the spoken language. I was always interested in the art. I loved poetry. I loved drama. All those things. So it was so apropos, I think, although I didn't do it on purpose, that I would end up working in the library, being surrounded by the very thing that I loved.
Okay.
So being in that environment and being exposed to all those books and all those words, it just seemed, you know, it was almost like a no-brainer, you know, that I would someday, you know, publish a work of fiction.
Yes. So that's such a great intro into my next question, too, because I understand that you've been writing pretty much all your life. And so at the time that you published Transitions, why did you decide that now is the time for that book to meet the masses?
Well, when I started, actually, this is how Transitions came. because it was not my intention to publish a book of short stories first. I had written a full-length novel, and it had three main characters.
Mm-hmm.
And after I wrote the book, like most eager, you know, and excited writers, I wanted to be published.
Mm-hmm.
So I started sending out, you know, query letters to agents and to publishers, and I kept getting rejections.
Okay.
So I said, I'm not going to let them determine whether or not I see my dream come to fruition. So I started looking into self-publishing. Well, back in the 90s, self-publishing is nothing like it is today.
Mm-hmm.
They were mostly vanity presses, and they were, you know, they would ask you for this large outlay of money, and they promise you that they were going to provide you with X amount of books at a quadrillion dollars for each book. It was just so, it just wasn't costly. So I kind of
took
my dream to the side, and I just, you know, kept living in between. And so each year I would look, I would keep looking, you know, to see, you know, what's happening in the world of self-publishing.
Mm-hmm.
So I finally discovered in, what year was it, 2009, I think it was, or 2010, it was either 9 or 10, I discovered that Amazon, of all places, had something called CreateSpace, where authors could upload their books and do it themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And so I got so excited, I said, okay, now the full-length novel that I had written, I had gotten it professionally edited, and I was in the process of making those changes.
Okay.
But in the interim, I said, well, I'm so excited. I want to publish something. So I took those stories that I had just been adding to my little collection. I took those stories, and I took three of the characters from my book. I had the full-length novel.
Mm-hmm.
Three of those characters, and I put their story in that book of short stories to kind of fill it out. And I said, well, this is good, because I was thinking in the future. I said, this is good because it'll expose the readers to these characters that I knew later I would form full-length novels for.
Okay.
So that's how Transitions, you know, became my first project. Because short stories, I like them, but I was more of a novelist, you know, a full-length novelist person. But the book received so much positive reviews, I couldn't believe that, you know, there was still an audience for short stories. Because even when I tried to market, when I tried to query that book, I would get, you know, people saying, oh, people don't read short stories anymore. That's not what people want.
Mm-hmm,
and when I got that positive feedback about this, you know, that they love the short stories and this, you know, these are wonderful, then it pushed me to finish editing the novel, because I knew that those stories, eventually when they, you know, read the story, they would want more of, you know, those characters.
Mm-hmm.
And true enough, they did. So I had, you know, the one book already.
Okay. So did you ever put the novel out? Have you released it yet?
I did. Well, the first novel, the first character to have her story fully told is Brianna, and the book that's out now, the novel is called No More Expectations.
Okay.
So
her
story came out. And I'm working on the other two characters.
Okay. So do you think that there will be another volume of short stories? I mean, since it was so well received, do you have more short stories in you?
Oh, yeah. You know, I'm going to tell you that. And what you don't think you, well, for me, what I didn't think I liked came to, you know, I proved myself wrong, because I really enjoy the short story. It's a challenge for me because I can be long-winded, and a novel is perfect for that. But in the short story, you have to, you still have to have the same components of a novel.
Yes.
You have to have a beginning, a middle, and an end.
Mm-hmm,
but the challenge for me is to do it in far less pages than I would in a novel and still have it, you know, still have it pack the punch that I generally like my story to do. And so, because the collection that I'll put out next won't so much be all of my stories, but I want to invite other authors to participate. That way, you know, for some people who feel that they have a story in them, but, you know, not particularly a novel, I want to give them that vehicle, you know, so that they can, you know, their voice can be heard as well.
Gotcha.
So that'll be
that's
my
awesome.
Next project after this.
Have you decided what you want the theme of the anthology to be?
I want it to be like this, like the transitions. I don't want there to be one particular thing.
Okay.
Because myself, I generally, I don't like anthologies that only concentrate on one theme. I like a variety. That way, if you're not a romance person, you're maybe a mystery person, there's something there for you.
Gotcha.
If you're not a mystery person, you know, maybe you like more of a contemporary fiction, well, there's something there for you. So I like to kind of cover all my bases in one, you know, in one package.
Okay. Okay, that's awesome. So let me say this about your book. You have some of the best editing work that I have ever seen from an indie author.
Oh, thank you.
I am, and I read all the time. And I actually, I edit for another publishing company, but of course I don't edit my own work, you know. And when my book first came out in 2012, I paid a lot of money for someone to edit the book. And even though the editing was okay, the proofreading wasn't. And someone did a review for me and made a comment. And I was like, and I was so appreciative of that, though, because no one else who had read the book had ever said anything, you know. So what advice do you offer to authors when it comes to getting and ensuring that they are getting what they're paying for when it comes to editorial work for their books? Because yours is spot on.
Well, for me, sometimes I, you know, I tend to go overboard, but that's just me. But my advice to authors would be, first, you know, it would help if they themselves are familiar with the rules of grammar.
Okay.
Because you need that. You need to at least have a basic knowledge of that, because an editor, you know, not everyone who says they're an editor is really an editor.
That's true.
So that's your way of weeding out someone who actually knows what they're doing versus someone who, you know, who knows about as much as you do.
I got you. Yep, that's very good.
So that's the first thing, you know the rules of grammar. And the second thing is, don't be afraid to use editors who may not be who may not edit your particular genre that you're writing, because what I found was, in the editors that I used, and my editors were not African American, and that helped me, because not only did they give me the feedback that I needed, but they gave me feedback from another perspective. Don't be afraid to, you know, step outside your comfort zone. And the other thing is, don't be afraid to use more than one editor. Because I have three editors for my book.
Okay.
And a proofreader.
That's great advice.
So that's the thing. And don't feel like, some people think that, oh, you know, if I want a good editor, I have to pay a lot of money. No, you don't. Because that particular book, believe it or not, that particular book cost me, as far as editing, I'll tell you this, so that, you know, people will have a nice figure to work with, was less than $500 for the editing work.
You're kidding.
No,
I'm kidding. Wow.
No. So you just have to look. You have to look for those good editors. There's a website called Predators and Editors.
Okay.
Great website. because you know it, what it does is it, it if you have a name of a person who's saying that you know they're an editor, you can go to that website, and if that person's name is there, there will be lots of you know if it's a the person is a horrible editor and they really don't know what they're doing, that's going to be there.
Okay.
So it's a way for the author to check out, you know, who they're hiring.
Yeah.
And see what
okay.
their reputation is in the field of editors.
That is awesome
just,
advice.
You know,
and I've never even heard of that.
Yeah.
Like, wow, okay.
Yeah. And take your time, you know, just take time and go with someone who really is an editor, not your high school, you know, teacher or your next door neighbor, you know, who speaks very, you know, just go with someone who does this for a living.
Okay, that's very good. Now, what genre would you say that your works fall under?
I dread that question every time because I can't say.
Okay.
If I were to put it under an umbrella, it would be contemporary fiction.
Okay.
And that's such a vast umbrella, you know, because. Mm-hmm. A lot of stuff falls under. I don't like calling it women's fiction because then men shy away. It's definitely not romance fiction, although there is some love. You know, I always have a theme of love in my story. So it's kind of hard to, you know, pigeonhole me into one genre.
Okay. Well, then how do you find your target market then?
Well, I usually what I do is I'll take a little bit out of what's in the book. I'll take a little bit of when I'm doing marketing, I'll take a little bit of that that's in the book. And usually it's something vanilla. It's not, you know.
Okay.
It's something vanilla. And so I'll use that as a target, you know, to see what I get back. But mostly I just take the human part of the story and push that to the audience. And most people can relate to whatever, you know, whatever it is I put out there. So it's I don't like to lean heavily on, okay, this, you know, this is a story about relationships or love. I don't like to lean on that because some people don't like that. So I just go for the humanness of the story.
Yeah.
And that's how I find my target audience, you know. And so far it's worked and in some instances it doesn't because, you know, people they do want me to, you know, pin myself into one genre, you know. Well, and they'll say, "Well, I don't read that or I don't read this," and they'll say, "Well, I like love stories," and I'll tell them, "Well, there's a little bit of a that in there too." So some people like to have a clearly defined line. And sometimes I can't give them that. So I lose them and, you know. So hopefully I'll gain them again, but I lose them. That's the name of the game.
Are there any additional genres you'd like to try?
My favorite genre is mystery. I
love
mystery. But the mystery that I love, I know, this is not, you know, me belittling myself, but I know that I would never, ever do it justice. So I would never try. I won't do it. I'll leave that to those who really are dedicated to that way of writing.
Yes.
But I love reading this.
I did an interview with Beverly Jenkins a couple of years ago, and I asked her about her favorite genres. And I was so surprised because, of course, we know she does some contemporary stuff, but she mostly does historical romance. So you would think that her favorite genres to read would be that. It wasn't. It was fantasy. I'm like, oh, really?
Yeah.
So I know exactly what you mean. And I think that's, you know, she feels a similar kind of way, like, nope, I'm gonna just enjoy other people who have that gift in that area, and I'm going to write in my gift that's my area. Yeah, I totally get that. That's wonderful.
Although, No More Expectations does have a little bit of mystery in it.
Okay.
But it's nothing like the mystery that I read.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Now, do you think that you'll put a poetry collection out? Because I know that you're a poet also.
Oh, you know, when I started writing, poetry and plays, those were the first things I started writing.
Okay.
And I look at some of the poems that I written over the years, especially when I in my younger days, and they're so juvenile.
Okay.
And I think you know, I love it. But for me, you know, what's different from writing fiction than writing poetry is with poetry, I find that I do my best writing when I'm immersed in it.
Oh, okay.
So if I'm not immersed in it, I'm not going to, you know, to just sit here and think of something, I can't do it. But if I'm immersed in it, then the juices are flowing and I'm in this, you know, I'm in that headspace and I'm writing.
Yeah. Okay.
But I can't, you know, Yeah, but so the answer to the question is no, I don't. I might do a sprinkle here and there, but a collection, no. No, you on the other hand. I like your work. So you can do it justice, but me, no. And you do well with your fiction as well as your poetry. And it's hard to find. Yeah, because most people, what I found is most people who are good poets don't necessarily write good, you know, good fiction.
Okay.
So, you're good. So thank you.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
I have the biggest smile on my face. Well, thank you so much for that. I really appreciate that.
You're good, Tamika. I enjoy both. I enjoyed both.
Thank you. Thank you so much. So what can we expect from you next? What are you working on?
Actually, I'm working on two things. Well, like three things. That the collection of short stories, I'm working on, you know, choosing the authors I want to be a part of that project.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I'm working on a novel that I started, a book I started years ago.
Oh.
But I have not, you know, I keep going back to it and, you know, picking it up, putting it out.
Okay.
It's about a woman who gave her child up for adoption years ago.
Mm. Okay.
And something happened to make her go looking for this child.
Okay.
And so in her looking for the child, a tragedy ensues. And she's guilt-ridden. You know, her marriage becomes threatened. And so that's something I hope to have out late next year. But what I'm immediately working on is two of the other characters from the book Transition, Kashmir Masters. I don't know if you remember her story. Hers was the last one. It was called Think Again. It was the last one in the collection. And then the other character, his name is Lonnie Parker, and his story was called Caught. I think it's like the third story in the book. So the two of them in that novel that I told you about that I had written first before this book of short stories, they are two characters in that. They are the other two characters besides Brianna that were in that first full-length novel. And so I pulled them out and put their stories together because they, you know, became a couple. And so Kashmir is dealing with a very dire health situation.
Okay.
And so it has defined her life or who she is today. And so, you know, she's kind of shied away from relationships because of it. And Lonnie, on the other hand, has, of course, something tragic in his past has made him swear off commitment. He does not want to be committed. Relationships are not for him. He's happy being a player from one woman to the other. And so, of course, you know, as you can guess, the two of them meet, and then the drama or you know, becomes, can these two overcome what happened in their past to allow their future to bloom?
Sounds beautiful.
Yeah, and that story, it has some very serious social commentary in it.
Mm-hmm.
And, it drives home a very important point about the way we choose to live our lives.
Mm, okay.
And so with their story, I'm probably going to take some flack on that because there are issues that, you know, we live in such a politically correct society that
mm-hmm.
you can't, you know, say to, you know, anything
yeah.
bad about, even though there's nothing bad. It's just,
mm-hmm.
you know, the way life is. But there
yeah.
will be some who think, that maybe you shouldn't have said this. Because I had one person edit the first half of the story, and she said, well, you might want to stay away from this subject, and you might want to stay away from this subject, too. And like I told her, I said, well, the whole point of the book are those two subjects, so without
right.
them, I would have no book, no premise for
mm-hmm.
a book.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we have to stop being afraid to, we have to stop allowing society to dictate the things that are important to us.
That's right.
You know,
and not only that, you know, there are many different types of stories and they aren't all pretty, you know,
exactly.
and yet those are stories that deserve to be told too, you know, so
yeah,
I totally feel you on that.
Point. That's it. Life
mm-hmm.
is not always pretty. And that's
yeah.
what I go for in my story. But I always, at the end, my goal is always to leave the reader either thinking about what they read and, you know, asking themselves, well, if I were in this situation, how would I handle it?
Mm-hmm.
Or if they themselves have perhaps been in a situation like that, maybe finding the courage to confront
mm-hmm.
whatever it is, you know, they're dealing with.
Yes. One of the stories that stands out, well, that there were a couple of them. I mean, like, I enjoyed them all, but there were a couple that really just really stood out to me. And the
mm-hmm.
one with the single lady who had the child, I don't remember her name or the name of the story,
okay.
and how she ended up pregnant was
yeah,
that one. And, you
that's
know,
the
I
final
just.
Story.
Oh, that's the final story. Okay. All right.
Mm-hmm.
And,
no.
you know, and I just remember, you know, just thinking like, wow, you know, if the table had been turned and I had been her, would I have been able to do what she did, you know? And yet
mm-hmm.
what a selfless act to be able to say, you know, even though I will still give you life, you know?
Right.
And I don't know. It really touched me. So, yes,
yeah.
I totally feel what you're saying, you know? So that's, yes, that's awesome.
Now, is that the one with the little girl? Is that the one that started with the little girl?
It's been so long since I've read it. All I remember was that she was a single parent. Had she been married before? I can't remember if she had been married before or not, but the
no.
details of how she ended up pregnant came
yes.
out at
okay,
the end of the story.
And that's the shortest story in the book, and that's the one that, you know, that people kind of bristled at because
oh,
of
really?
What the little girl asked. Yeah, because of what
oh,
the little
okay.
girl asked her mother. Remember the little girl
okay.
asked her mother that question? She said, Mommy,
mm-hmm.
what is rape?
Mm-hmm.
And that's
mm-hmm.
what started everything. And so people just bristle at the word rape. Nobody wants
yeah.
to think about, you know, rape. But there's a lot of that, what happened in that
yeah.
story. There's
mm-hmm.
a lot of that going on.
Absolutely.
So that,
absolutely.
You know, that was something I felt very strongly about because it, you know, it happened in to people that I knew.
Yes.
And so,
yes.
you know, they had to be celebrated for the choices they made.
And you know what else?
Yeah.
I mean, not only, I mean, especially when you're talking about a subject like that, you know, not only are
mm-hmm.
there so many women who have been raped or sexually violated, but usually
mm-hmm.
they're either treated like they are, somehow their fault, yes.
Yes.
Or they are made to be silent about what they're going through, and so they,
yes.
where is the pain supposed to go? And so I love
right.
that you were able to give her and to give women like her a voice. Very
yes.
powerful. Very
yes.
powerful.
Yes.
So why don't you tell us.
No, go ahead.
Okay, I was going to say, why don't you tell us a few random facts about yourself? You know, how do you occupy your time when you're not writing?
Oh, when I'm not writing, I'm probably sleeping or reading.
Okay.
I love to read.
Okay.
Or I'm talking, you know, I'm talking to somebody about spiritual things about the Bible, which
uh-huh,
is the
uh-huh.
other thing that I love to do.
Okay.
Or I'm just, you know, I'm just out there pounding the pavement trying to, you know, get my books recognized and trying to get different venues, you know, where I can, you know, sell the book.
Now, let me ask
so
you this. With you having worked in a library, is that making the journey a little easier for you or no? You can't really tell that it's making an impact.
Well, it was only easier in that I knew how library systems worked when it came to purchasing material.
Gotcha. Okay.
But as far as the other stuff, no, that was like a total shock.
Okay.
You know,
but
it did help. It helped a little because it got my books in libraries. And
mm-hmm.
it got me, different signings at different library branches. So that did help a lot. But other than that, all the other stuff that goes into it, no,
mm-hmm.
that was stuff that I learned as I went.
Yes, gotcha. Okay. So do you have any events coming up where readers can come out and meet you?
Next month I'll be at the Gaithersburg Book Festival in Maryland.
Oh, really?
On the 21st. Mm-hmm. The 21st of May. That's a Saturday. I believe it's from 10 to 6 or 10 to 5. Mm-hmm. And then I'm working on the Ann Arbor Book Festival. I want to be in that. I'm communicating with the woman there. Theirs is in June 18th.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully, if I get accepted to that one, I'll be there. And then
mm-hmm.
July 9th, I'll be at the Lorraine Library in Cleveland on 82nd and Lorraine.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And I'll be there doing books. And then I don't have anything else, that I'm aware of coming up. So those three places.
So why don't you tell our listeners where your books can be purchased and how they can follow you on social media?
Well, you can purchase my books from my website, which is twistedwordpublishing.com, or you can purchase them anywhere books are sold online,
mm-hmm.
or if you go into a bookstore, if you give them the title, they'll find the book and order it for you. You
mm-hmm.
can find me online on Facebook at Kathy Jo G, on
mm-hmm.
Twitter as Ms. Kat Jo, Ms. with a Z, M-Z, Kat Jo.
All right.
I'm
mm-hmm.
on also LinkedIn as Ms. Kat Jo. Let's see, where else? That's about it.
Okay. Yeah. All right. And finally, then, what advice would you give to an aspiring author?
Well, I would say, like Cheryl said before me, don't give up.
Okay.
If this is something that you truly want to do, you believe in your heart this is your calling, and you were born for this, then don't let anyone steal your dream, because there are a lot of naysayers out there. There are a lot of critics out there, and there's always going
mm-hmm.
to be someone to tell you that, your time would be better spent doing this or that, or
mm-hmm.
why do you want to be in a, field where it seems to be glutted and oversaturated? Don't listen
mm-hmm.
to those negative voices. Do what you believe you were meant to do and take your time. It's not a race. Put your best foot forward.
Mm-hmm.
Get your work edited.
Yeah.
Make it pristine as it can be, because what your book or what people see in your book is how they're going to view you as a person. So
make sure
that book is top-notch representation of who you are. So just take your time and do what you do.
Oh, such great advice. I have so enjoyed our time together today.
I have,
Thank
too.
Thank you, Kathy. Oh, yeah. But for
Thank
sharing
you.
Your
Thank
time
you for
and
having.
Your wisdom and for, for your candid and insightful answers. I really just really appreciate that. So be sure to keep us abreast of your future endeavors so that we can continue to support you. We'd love
I
to
will.
Have you back
Thank
on the show
you.
Again. Yes.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank
so again,
you, Tamika.
Oh, my pleasure. My pleasure. Again, listeners, we've had authors Cheryl Lister and Kathy Jo with us today. Be sure to check out their books, Tender Kisses and Transitions, Short Stories for a Rainy Day. I'm always excited about the opportunity to connect with readers. Be sure to come out for the release and book signing of my newest novel, When Man Loves a Woman Too, A Love Divine,
mm-hmm.
at the Dayton Book Expo, Saturday, April 30th at St. Clair Community College in Dayton, Ohio. The event is free and open to the public. Be sure to visit my website. That's www.tamikapatrice.com. And for more information on the event, you can visit www.daytonbookexpo.com for more details. If you miss any part of today's podcast, you can hear it in its entirety about 5 minutes after the show airs.
Thank you for tuning in. We encourage you to support the authors who appear on the show. Of course, if you like what you hear, pass on the word to others. Supporting those in the literary arena is what we're all about. Join me next week for In the Spotlight with special guest Al Cato and celebrity journalist and author Flo Anthony at 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time right here on WALN, the Abundant Living Station. Until we meet again, make each day a great day on purpose, and don't forget to read a good book. Enjoy your day. Bye.
Bye.